The question is why? Why nice fascism here and not the nastier variety? My own answer is American exceptionalism. This is what Frank is referring to when he says democracy in America is a tribal institution. American culture supersedes our legal and constitutional framework. It is our greatest bulwark against fascism. Werner Sombart famously asked, "Why is there no socialism in the United States?" The answer for historians and political theorists has always been because America has no feudal past, no class problems of the European sort. This, as Wolfgang Schievelbusch argues, is also largely the answer to the question, why is there no fascism in the United States? But this is the case only if we mean the oppression, cruelty, and tyranny of classical fascism. Nationalism and fascism can only bring out traits that are already in a society's genetic code. In Germany, the blackest parts of the German soul were unleashed. In Italy, the insecurities of a faded star of Western civilization. In America, fascism hit at the beginning of the American century, which meant, among other things, that it was not nearly so dark a vision. We had no bitter resentments to vindicate, no grievances to avenge. Instead, fascism in America was a more hopeful affair, though let us recall that fascism succeeded at first in Italy and Germany because it offered hope as well. That doesn't mean we didn't have bleak moments, but these moments could not be sustained. The progressives and liberals had two shots at maintaining real fascistic war crises during World War I and again during the New Deal and World War II. They couldn't keep it going because the American system, the American character, and the American experience made such experiments unstable. As for the genteel fascism Flynn referred to, that's a different story, one that begins in the chapters that follow. While the cultural left has long seen the outlines of fascism in the alleged conformity of the 1950s, the third fascist movement in the United States actually began in the 1960s. It differed dramatically from the first two fascist moments, those that followed the Progressive Era and the New Deal, largely by virtue of the fact it came after the hard collectivist era in Western civilization. But as with the previous eras, the 1960s represented an international movement. Students launched radical uprisings around the world, in France, Indonesia, Czechoslovakia, Poland, Senegal, South Korea, Mexico, and the United States. Meanwhile, working from within the establishment, a new cohort of liberal activists sought to recreate the social and political dynamics of their parents' generation to further the legacies and fulfill the promises of the Progressive Era. This two-pronged assault, from above and below, ultimately succeeded in seizing the commanding heights of the government and the culture. The next two chapters will consider each in turn.